Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Does anybody need Jesus? I said, does anybody need Jesus? Does anybody need Jesus anymore? Amen. You'll agree with me that if we've ever needed God, we need Him now. Amen. Amen. So much has been going around in our world that I find it certainly a sad thing when people say, I don't need God. Matter of fact, we've heard the rumors that this year we shall be facing challenges where God is going to be tried to push out more and more out of our community, out of the White House, monuments that have the Ten Commandments, monuments that show religious icons, if you will, reminding us that we have a Savior in heaven. The Pledge of Allegiance, possibly even going through change in what is said in our dollar bills, in God we trust. Closing meetings in our official offices without saying, so help me God, or in the name of Jesus, nothing like that. We are facing a great challenge, and if you're ignoring all of these things, please pay attention. I'm not asking you to become political. I am asking you to pay attention to what the enemy is doing. And as you see what the enemy is doing around us, pushing God out, that should stir in our hearts an urgency to keep God in. Did you know that in California, poor California is probably one of the, well, I hope nobody's from California here. And if you are, you've probably left. Good for you. And California is one of the saddest states that we have in our United States. They're bold to announce that in our elementary schools, our kids are called to defragment themselves, if you will, to just stop thinking the way they were raised to think. To start thinking the way they feel. All the way from gender. If you don't feel like a boy, write it down. I don't feel like a boy. If you don't feel like a girl, I don't feel like a girl. And feel free, defended and protected by the law, to do whatever you want to do. We're not going to teach you anything that's going to point you to who you really are biologically. Anything that's gender-based, you've heard the Speaker of the House. She's not going to refer to, she's asking everyone not to refer to anything as you speak to others genderly. Then she turns around and says, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother. She had just finished saying, don't decipher amongst people. It's a confused world, amen? Sadly, pay attention. Like I said, don't become political. I don't know if any politicians are going to make it. Sadly enough, it's a dirty game. Amen? It's a dirty game, and the checkerboard is the nation they rule. And so, I'm not going to get into that because then I'm going to have some of you guys jump on my neck after I get out of here. But I still mean what I say. And I'm not afraid to say that it's a confused government. We're in a sad situation. And so we need God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. If anything at all I say, if my sermon seems cliche and monotonous to you, please just listen to these things I want to engrave in your heart. We need God. If you remember nothing else that I say this morning, if you know every story, every text, every passage I read to you, and you've heard it a million times, please remember this. We need God. Out of every song that we sing, you've heard them all. We've played before. Oh, I've heard DJ sing that song again. I've heard Pastor preach on this subject again and again. Please remember this at every service. The main thing we want you to remember as you walk out of here is this. We need God. Can you say it with me? We need God. We need God. We don't need another denomination. We don't need any more gimmicks on the pulpit. We don't need any smoke-filled rooms to come and hopefully entice and scratch our religious itch. We need God. That should be enough for a sermon today. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. God bless you. I've got a word from the Lord. We need God. That's it. Thank you very much. Charles Spurgeon went inside one of his revival tents one day and he got up. He had been praying all night, preparing his message. And he stands behind the podium and he looks at the people and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe and trust in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." The Lord bless you this morning. End of service. Nothing else to say. Some people say, "Oh, you know, I read the word and I've heard every sermon. It's almost boring to me." I'm going to tell you something, that if they burned every Bible in the world, every page was destroyed, and you could only find John 3:16. That's all the gospel you need to go to heaven as you cherish that and hold it in your heart. There are people around the world today who have nothing more but a little piece of the Bible. There are communities and people all together around the world who are having church services in 50s or whatever. And what they share is they've taken the Bible and they've torn pages and they give it to each church. And they all have a little piece of passage, a scripture, and they sit down amongst 10, 5, whoever it is that with them underground, and they read the passage and they weep as they read the Word of God. Because they realize one thing. They need God. I said they need God. And ladies and gentlemen, today in a world of so many resources that we have, so many options that we have, so many answers that we have for our problems, the devil has been very keen in focusing our eyes on things we can supplement ourselves. All because he wants us to forget. What does he want us to forget? Oh, I wish I had a Pentecostal church in here. I said, he wants us to forget. We need God. Hallelujah. You guys awake on this side? You're not helping me. There's some Christians on this side. I said, they want us to forget what? Oh, there you go. He wants us to forget we need God. That's what the world is working very hard today to do, is to get the church to forget that we need God. You've got senators and people of high offices saying, "You know, we were able to do this, and no, God didn't do this, and God didn't do that. It was the great masterminding work of this gentleman here," whatever. What is he saying to us? You don't need God. And so it's a wrestle today. And so I'm going to stand up here for the next 30 minutes and keep being redundant until you walk out of here and say, "What did he preach about?" I don't know, but all I know, he said we need God. The psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, "You have made known to me." God is working to make known to us. He's trying to get our attention to understand this one truth. He said, "You've been made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Has God made you to understand that truth? Has He made you to understand that there is a path of life that He is holding for you? A life of pleasures in His right hand? A life that provides for you all and everything you need? That you don't have to look to the left or to the right, but you can look to God and find all the answers. Hallelujah. I'll remember, R.W. Schambach, when he closed his show, he said, and I remind you all, listeners, you don't have problems. All you need is God. You don't have any tough circumstances. All you need is God. There you go. I'm not going to give up. You better start yelling out. We're going to stay here till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm feeling pretty strong today. Hallelujah. I'm going to make up for all the sermons that I haven't preached that I've come up here holding onto the pulpit. I'm going to make up another extra 2-3 hours to remind you that we, that's it. Psalms 4 and 6, let the light of your face shine upon us. This is the cry that God should hear from His people today, even more so. Let your light, Lord, shine your face upon us, O God. He goes on to write, the psalmist does, saying, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. He said, I will lie down in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That has a that particular passage in verse 8 in Psalms chapter 4 is very special to me, because my mom, every time I was going to go to bed and I was a little kid at home, and she stopped me and she say, mijo, let me remind you. And she speak in Spanish. She say, así me acostaré y en paz yo dormiré, porque solo tú, Jehová, me haces vivir confiado. And that particular passage, she'd say it to me every time it was bedtime. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. But the cry, as he opens, the psalmist opens his mouth, he says, let your face shine upon us. He understood that we, come on, cheerleaders, we, I want you to say that throughout the service today. You don't have to shout me down, just shout Jesus down. Exodus 33 and 18, Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Now, he was a fine individual to ask and petition that. Moses lived continuously in the glory of the Lord. And still he has the audacity, when he's about to take on a new endeavor, he says, Lord, before I take a hold of this, show me your glory. I believe that that should be every morning prayer of every Christian in this house and every Christian around the world. When we wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, good morning. Holy Spirit, good morning. And you stand up and say, Lord, today, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Let your face shine upon me, O God. I realize that we need God on a daily basis. As I said to you, this world today is causing us to look everywhere but to God. I just saw, I don't know if it was on Facebook or Instagram, which I'm getting close to getting off. I communicate with many of you guys, but I don't communicate enough. I think you should start texting Facebook to me. This is me. I know some of you guys are Facebook lovers. And that's okay. I don't want to insult you. But it doesn't do a thing for me. Instagram, I have all my pictures of my fishing trips and my kids, and I'm going like, what else? But I saw this, I don't know if it's a meme or an announcement or whatever it was, but it shows this guy saying, you know, right now, all of you here today that are watching me on this TV show thing, He says, you're so busy looking towards Washington, D.C. You're so busy looking at what this senator or this vice president or this president or elect, whatever they're doing, and you're sitting there and you're all so involved with that. He says, but have you looked to the east? And I don't know. I have not done the research. I've heard this many years ago, but is it happening now? I don't know. But the point is clear here for me anyway. He says, in Jerusalem today, they're already building the third temple. They're already reconstructing the temple of Solomon. He says, and if you do a study, you'll find out that it'll be upon the completion of that temple that we're going to see the Antichrist come. We're going to see the end, that we're going to see Jesus come. But before that, we'll see the Antichrist come. And he said some other things. And I didn't research. I know I've seen before that Jerusalem is working on that dome again, on that temple again. How constructed or how finished they are, I have no idea. So I cannot tell you that I know that for a fact. But the point is clear. He said, you guys are looking that way and you're forgetting what's happening on this end. And that's what's happening to the church today, I really believe. We're so busy looking that way that we're forgetting what God is doing. Amen? We're forgetting what the Lord is doing. So ladies and gentlemen, today I want to gently grab you by your face and turn your face toward God. Why? We need God. That's our problem. This morning I want to encourage you, number one, because you are understanding that we need God. What happens after you realize that we need God? The second thing is that you search for God. We need to start looking for God. We need to start spending time at the altar. And I realize that COVID has come to steal our communication and fellowship with each other. That sometimes coming to the altar is a scary thing because you're not supposed to be that close. But we need to search for God. Whether that's his altar or right there where you're at, 6 foot away from your friend, brother, sister, or whatever. Searching for God is essential for the church at this time. If we want to cry out, Lord, show me your glory. I know I need you. Show me where you're at. Give me some revelation. Some of us ask for that on a daily basis, yet we fail to do the primary thing, is that we don't search for God. I believe all of us have enjoyed the glory of the Lord. Can you say amen? How many have really had a good Pentecostal time at one time or the other? I'm going to ask you to stand. If you are a Pentecostal believer and you've had a good Pentecostal time at one time or the other, stand up and be a testimony this morning. Stand up because you've had and you've experienced a good Pentecostal time. Amen. 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 A good Pentecostal. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm not talking about getting some religious celebrity. I'm not talking about a pastor that simply shouts you down. I'm talking about you coming to church and having a Pentecostal time. Hallelujah. Where God is moving in the ambience of the house, that you know that his Shekinah glory is in this place. How many can give me a witness? I've been there. Turn around, tell your neighbor, I've been there. I've been there. Oh, and it feels so sweet, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Be seated if you can. It feels so good, doesn't it? To be in the Pentecostal presence of God. But that'll only happen when we begin to search for God. When we search for God. When we come into the house of God and saying, well, where are you going? I'm going to go have a Pentecostal time. And your attitude is that I'm coming into church Regardless of what's going on, I'm going to have a Pentecostal time. It seems awkward at times when you see someone next to you really worshiping God and you're sitting there. What's the difference that somebody's having a Pentecostal time? But in order to have that Pentecostal time, we have to search for Him. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's another truth I think the church needs to remember today. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that the temple of the Holy Spirit is where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. And where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, there is freedom. That means that you should be free to worship. You should be free to stand up and rejoice in the Lord. You should be free to run around the church and make a spectacle of yourself just like David did that day. And care nothing less. Why? Because we are the temple. And in order to get the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell within us, we must build that temple and make that accommodation ready for Him. And it begins by searching for Him. Exodus 25 and it says, and 8, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Tell them to build a temple for me, and I will move in and dwell within them. You know, one of the biggest reasons why we can't have those Pentecostal times? You know why millions of churches around the world are just coming and having, per se, a religious time, and the pastor has taken 5 days to prepare a message and be trying to become the best orator he can, but nothing changes and nothing happens? It's because nobody's home. Amen? Nobody's home. We've not made the temple. We have not readied the place for Him to come and dwell. He said, let them prepare. Let them prepare and make a sanctuary for me. And I will indeed dwell with them. The Bible gives us a promise. The psalmist is speaking again in Psalms 91 and 1. He says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I opened this service this morning with a question for you. Does anybody need God? Does anybody need God? Do we need God anymore? I saw somebody else say, hey, listen, do I wake up in the morning and pray for my day? He said, you should pray when you go to Walmart. You should pray all the time. You should ask God to walk with you in the Home Depot, HEB, Walmart, into the house of God, wherever you're at. You should always pray and say, Lord, walk with me. Show me your glory. But you have to search for Him. You need to make sure in the morning that your house is made. Yes? That your house is made. At our own confession at times, and you'll say a loud amen if you ever said this, but sometimes you said, I feel empty. I've heard people walk into my office, come and sit down on a personal conversation and say to me, Pastor, I don't know, I just feel empty. And in my mind, and I'm gentle to remind them, and I ask them at the same time, I say, well, is anybody home? Is anybody home? Don't come here and blame Rock of Ages because you feel nothing. Don't come here and blame the pastor because he didn't preach that sermon that you just really wanted to hear. Don't come here and blame the worship team because they didn't play that song that you wanted to hear, or a chord was wrong or whatever, or it's too cold, or I was going to have a good time, but God, the lights, don't blame that. Ask yourself, is anybody home? The light may be on, but the house is empty. You may be saved and the light is on, but if someone should look through the window of your heart, will they see the presence of the Holy Spirit? For we are the temple. And in order to get Him to move in with us, we need to search for God. Yes, because we're realizing that we need God. God, I'm telling you, you guys are going to be okay. Jesus comes today. These guys are pretty silent this time. I want to see that hopefully by the end of this service, we'll have you guys shout these guys down, because these guys are on fire on this side. Secondly, we know that we're facing challenges, ladies and gentlemen, today. When it comes to prayer, you just can't pray anywhere you want. They're challenging. We thought that the past administration had pretty much taken that wall down and brought Christmas back and prayer in our schools back and everything else. But it looks like this present administration coming now is going to take all that out because it's just not politically correct. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to put a wall in front of us that's going to want to stop us from pressing into His presence. I almost expect to hear from the state or government in our church giving us new certain rules, if you will, or compliances that we need to follow, because otherwise we'll be shut down. The world doesn't want God by and large. And it's going to be hard for us to have somebody home. But we need to press into His presence. A man said one time, what's wrong with Christians today is that when they pray, they don't pray until they can pray. Did you understand that? When Christians pray, but they never pray until they can pray. What did he mean by that? He means that when we take 30 seconds to pray, you ain't going nowhere. When you pray for 2 or 3 minutes, you're not going anywhere. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you move today. Hallelujah. Amen. See you later. You didn't go anywhere. The church needs to learn how to pray until we can pray. There's a forest of things in front of us. No one in this place can deny that at times we're praying and, Lord, I just thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, your presence is so awesome, man. I left the water on at home. And Lord, I thank you so much. And gosh, man, I didn't cut the yard this weekend. I have to do it this afternoon. But Lord, that others use prayer as a sleeping pill. Oh, Lord, I thank you very much. Oh, Jesus. Oh, sorry, Father, sorry. Anyway, what? Yeah. Lord, I love you. And what's the point here? I know it's a little giggly and funny, but there's a very important principle in what I'm telling you. The church needs to pray until we can pray. You know when you can pray. You know when you break through. It's that moment you begin to pray and you enunciate and say all the proper words that you want to. And Lord, we love you. Until finally your heart begins to break. You say, Lord, we love you. And the walls begin to fall down. And you realize that you've left all the thoughts in your mind. And now that wall is there, you're breaking through it. And all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Lord. And now you're praying. Now you're praying. We feel nothing in our prayer services sometimes because we don't pray until we can pray. It takes a pressing. It takes a pushing. Don't tell me you're a good prayer warrior because you've mastered words and for 60 seconds you say them and you get up and you say, wow, you're tremendous in your vocabulary. That means absolutely nothing to God. But it's the pressing in. You just said you've had a Pentecostal time before, yes? How did you get there? By wrestling and praying and fighting every devil that gets in the way, every thought that gets in the way, until finally you open up and you see the glory of God, and now you know you're in the presence of one and what you say is being heard. We need to pray until we can pray. We need to press in to the glory of God. We need to get out of our positions where we're at right now and take the challenge and press on toward God. You remember the story in the book of Joshua. When they were crossing the Jordan, everybody was resting on the side. Then the Lord came to Joshua and said, tell the people to get ready. They were on their way into the presence of God in Canaan, and everybody was resting, and their teepees and their homes were set. But he said, tell the people to get up and get ready. And so Joshua does exactly that. And the Lord said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant move, chase after it. Move with it. Stay behind it. If you let it go, if you stay home one more day, there's going to be a day ahead of you and you'll never catch up to it. But as soon as you see the Lord begin to move, get up and get out of your positions and go. I'm wondering this morning, have you set up camp where you're at? Do you have an address where you're at right now? You've set up your teepee now. Your home is right there. And you've heard the voice of the Lord say you need to get out of your custom place, your comfort zone, and start pressing toward the Ark of the Covenant. Have you heard God say that to you? I'm telling you, in the Spirit of the Lord, God is telling the church, get up, army, get ready to march. We're going into Canaan. We're going into a world of blessing. But you're not going to get there. You've got to keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant. You've got to press toward the glory. But are we leaving today? Is the Ark moving today? Did Joshua pick the right day? I mean, I'm telling you, it's Sunday, isn't it rest day for everybody? And we make our excuse or whatever they may be. I'm just comfortable here. Nothing is breaking. Everything is calm. What is God doing? He's moving forward. That's okay. Everything is pretty kosher here. You remember the Lord took the disciples up to the hill, and there was a place of transfiguration when they saw the glory of the Lord and they loved it so much. They said, Lord, let's build a place here so we can stay. He said, no, we can't do that. We got to go down and take what we got here into the amongst the people. And here's a very key and important principle we can learn, even what I've just mentioned. Is that you moving behind the Ark of the Covenant doesn't mean you move from your comfort zone and all things change. But you can walk in your life behind God and be blessed, enjoying life everlasting. People are afraid to move and chase after God because they don't want to disassemble where they're at. But if we're going to find God, we're going to have to press toward God. And I'm telling you today and giving you a heads up, if you will, and making you aware that there's going to be a pressing that the church needs to do this year. We may come and do the service here, and I'm not even going to preach. These altars are going to be open. And that's all we're going to have. An altar open. Why? Because we know that we. And the only way to find God is to press toward God. And to have a pastor come up here and waste my time, 30, 45 minutes, I could be at the altar pressing toward God. I am so much and more content when I see a church that during worship takes off and the Spirit of the Lord begins to bathe everybody. I have no need of saying anything. There's no hype in my heart to say, man, I can't wait to speak to them. They're going to enjoy when I open my mouth and talk to them. Listen, when the King of Glory walks in, I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to say. He can say everything on his own and do everything on his own. This is his house, and we are his people. So when the president walks in, the president of our soul, that chief in control of who we are, then all that is left for us is to bow our heads and give him glory. But until then, we need to press in. I'm going to give you one more this morning. I won't finish this sermon this morning because I know that I can continue next week, because even next week, that's awesome. Even next week, I can continue this sermon, because next week you're going to realize that you're going to come to church, you're going to bring somebody, all of us are going to come back, because we all know that we need God. The third thing that I'll tell you this morning, and I'll close, is be sensitive to what God is doing at the time that he's doing it. Be sensitive. Now, that says a lot more, ladies and gentlemen, and simply me giving you that principle. You know, to be sensitive, that means that you must be pliable. A rock can't be sensitive. When you look at something like this, you think this wood feels the gentleness of my hand? No. It's got to be something pliable. We are made of people of emotion and feeling. When God touches us, we feel his presence. And we know when God has started a fire and begin to bless his church. We know when God is moving in the airways here in the house of God. Amen. Anybody sense that? And if we're singing a song, and all of a sudden, DJ will stop singing, the music keeps going, and all of a sudden, you are elevated and transferred into an area where you know that God is dwelling, God is beginning to move, you're sensitive to what he's doing. This world that we live in today, ladies and gentlemen, with so much that is happening, so much rubbing it's doing on our hearts, we need to be careful we not become callous. We not become callous. We not become hard. We need to be sensitive to him. He's the lover of your soul. He is the lifter of your head. When you hurt, he is sensitive to feel your pain. When you're happy, he is sensitive to feel your joy. When you have a need, he is sensitive to feel how you feel. He is the perfect high priest. He is the perfect helper. But he's sensitive. And so in our relationship with him, there is something I believe the church is lacking today, and that is sensitivity to the moving of his spirit. I've heard conversation many times over the years of elders in the church, and especially the elders, and yes, many more, who said, did you feel when the Lord entered the room? Did you feel him come in? The Bible says that when they were in the upper room, they felt to the presence of the Lord come in like a mighty rushing wind. They were sensitive to feel the presence of the Lord. It's so beautiful, ladies and gentlemen, to be in a house or in a service when all of a sudden it seems like nothing, but all of a sudden you'll see a believer begin to weep. And he begins to cry out. And you may be around that person and you look at him and you see his tears flowing. What's happening? Did he remember something? Somebody hurt them? Somebody say something derogatory to them? And then you ask him, he says, no. As I was sitting there, I sensed his presence. I sensed his presence. It's almost impossible to be in the house of God without knowing when he comes in. Knowing when I feel and I'm preaching and I feel him step in and I know he's here. When I'm praying, I know when he walks in and he bends his knee with me next to me and he embraces me. When I'm laying down, I cannot bend my knee because of my condition. I'll lay down and I'm there just praying, pressing in, and all of a sudden I feel somebody come and cuddle me and I know he just entered into my room. Be sensitive. Don't be callous. Don't let life make you callous. I know life isn't fair to us sometimes, and it makes us a character, it builds our character into becoming a people who are insensitive to many things. Well, you may be insensitive to a lot of things, but don't ever be insensitive to the move of God. Someone who knows he needs God is sensitive to what God is doing. Do you want the glory of the Lord? Does anybody need God? Anybody really need God? This morning I've given you simple, very simple principles. I'm not done, but I'm done for this morning. If you need the glory of the Lord, then ready the house for God. Ready the house of God. Say, Lord, I've cleaned up the house. Come on in, it's ready for you. I am the temple of you, God. I am the temple. This is the dwelling right here of your presence. Be sensitive and be ready to move. Be sensitive and ready to worship. Let God handle you. Let God move you. Don't hold back. Sometimes we cover our faces when we sense the presence of the Lord, but you never know when your neighbor next to you is just waiting for someone to feel him. And you'll see the presence of the Lord begin to move amongst everyone. I've seen that. And I long for that. I pray for you daily that when I'm done and this pulpit is empty of me, you might remember always that there was one great lesson that you learned from this man. And that was... I even feel him now. Would you stand? We need God. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. We'll leave in a second. Please don't be in a hurry. And I want you to do some introspection, to look inside your heart this morning. And I want you to, in all honest scale, ask yourself, have I let God know that I need him? Have I let God know that I want him? Have I made the house of God ready in my heart, knowing today there's no one living in ignorance in this place, in this house today? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself, who's living in that temple? Who's moving about in the house of God that is your heart? Are you one who has confessed, Pastor, I feel empty? Pastor, something's lacking. I feel empty. I ask you today, as your eyes are closed, to be honest. Is your house empty? Because it is empty. And there is no residence of the presence of His Spirit in you. See, God won't share His house. God won't share His house. When people used to worship Him in the temple, and that temple was destroyed, He said, no longer will I dwell in temples made by the hands of men, but I will make my home in their hearts. Have you cleaned His house lately? Are you sensitive to when He's knocking on your door, when you're sitting in the service, or that song is being sung, or that pastor is preaching His word to you? Are you sensitive to feel the presence of God when He walks in? Are you sensitive to feel the gentleness of His knocking on your door? Are you sensitive to hear the gentleness of His voice say, open up, I want to come in? Are you making room of all the clutter that is holding you back from pressing in? Are you pressing and moving things aside so that you can make the way of the Lord into your heart and into your life? The psalmist cried at one time. He says, open wide the gates of your heart that the King of glory might come in. And so I say to you, church, open wide the gates of your heart that the King of glory might march in. Are you sensitive to Him? And do you realize today that we what? We need God. Those of you at home watching this service, right where you're at, are you sensitive? And know that you need God. There is no distance for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I speak a word and say, God, make your reach long and wide. And those who are watching us at home, right where they're at, sanctify that place. And let them know that as they sit and watch this service, they are the temple of you, O Lord. And let them realize that if there is emptiness as they sit there, help them to understand, to open wide the gates of their hearts, that Jesus might come in. Let them realize, and I reach out my hearing today and ask those at home, ask yourself, why is He preaching this sermon to me? Because I want you to understand, as everyone in this house here has understood this morning. You at home, say it with us. Why? Because we need God. We need God more and more, especially this year and every coming year. Jesus is coming. The signs are clear. This morning, as your eyes are closed, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart at home or in this sanctuary this morning. And today, this morning, you've understood the greatest lesson I've preached to you in everything that I've said. And you realize that you need God. If there's anyone in this morning in this house that would say yes to Christ, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you right where you're at. Anybody who would say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I've never asked you to come in. If that's you, lift your hand up. Any one of you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else in this place who would raise their hand high? Thank you. Thank you back there. Anybody else that would say, Pastor, I understand the message. The message is clear. I need God. If that's you, raise your hand high to heaven. Let God see that. Thank you. Right where you're at, I want you to pray with me. And I simply want you to say, Jesus, I lived my life this long, never confessing in my heart that I needed you. Yes, I've said, God, help me a time or two. But I've never really understood that you wanted a relationship with me as your Savior. And so, Jesus, today, out of everything said, I need you. More than ever, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. I don't want my heart empty. I want you to come and take your place inside of me. I prepare this heart for you. From this moment on, this heart belongs to you, O God. Forgive me of all my errors in life. Sanctify me that I might worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for being my Savior. And I rejoice that I am your son and daughter. In your name I pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for your church. I thank you for everyone at home who is watching this service. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Come out to church. Many, many people are coming out. The church is filling up again. Come on out. We're okay. We're sensitive to the presence of the Lord. He will protect us and keep us. And so we welcome everyone at home to rise up in the strength of the Lord and come home. Let this thing not keep us away from worshiping together as a family. And Lord, I speak a word of blessing to every listening ear in this house and abroad. Bless their families. Bless them spiritually. Bless them financially. Bless them materially. And let them know as they receive this gifts from you, it's because we have recognized, every one of us, that we need God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.